Parker Werman, and this is The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. For the next few minutes, we're going to step back from breaking news to talk about moral issues raised by war and meet two religious leaders with strong feelings about that. First, let me tell you about a chaplain who just resigned from the U.S. Army in a very public way. He wrote a letter to President Obama.
I resigned because I refused to support U.S. armed drone policy. The executive branch continues to claim the right to kill anyone, anywhere on earth, at any time for secret reasons, based on secret evidence in a secret process undertaken by unidentified officials.
Reverend Chris Antal, welcome to the program. Now, the other line from that letter we did not feature was, I resign because I refuse to serve as an empire chaplain. So first question to you. You know what the military does. Why did you join in the first place?
Well, Marco, I grew up in the wake of our war in Vietnam, and my father had served in that war as a medical officer. And I learned at a young age that war hurts, and I also learned to be skeptical of military solutions. And I thought growing up that I would never serve. That changed for me at September 11th, and I wanted to do my part. I wanted to carry my fair share. And I thought I could do that well as a chaplain.
Are you a pacifist now and were not when you signed up?
I used to think I was a pacifist when I was growing up. I now have a more nuanced view, and I do believe that there is a time to kill. And if you were to ask me when that time is, well, that's a really tough question to answer. But I do believe that there is moral justification for killing when it is protecting the innocent from certain harm.
Well, let's dig in a bit into your own story and find out how you kind of arrived at this nuanced position. I know you served in the New York National Guard at the same time you were a Unitarian minister. And in 2012, you were called up, sent to Afghanistan, and you saw drones taking off and landing. Pick up the story from there, if you would.
Sure. Well, I witnessed my first drone standing on the airfield in Kandahar, Afghanistan, where I was doing my duty as a chaplain to honor the dead at a dignified transfer ceremony. We would gather on the flight line whenever a service member was killed as the casket was transferred onto a C-17. There's taps, there's prayer. We salute as the casket is carried up the ramp. It was while I was standing on the flight line in those ceremonies that I saw the drones, surveillance and also armed drones on the flight line.
And what did you think? I mean, just seeing those drones, what crossed your mind?
Well, being there for that dignified transfer ceremony is a very emotional place. And my heart was opened to the pain of the loss of these American lives. But to hold that with the drones and to stand there wondering who we were killing and who their families were and how they were grieving, it just created a break in my soul that I've tried to address by educating myself and eventually speaking up for where I've come to stand.
Why did you write to President Obama? Why go all the way to the Commander-in-Chief?
Well, I'm pretty outraged with the lack of progress. And before I took this step, I personally advocated through my elected officials. I also engaged the members of my congregation in Rock Tavern, New York, in legislative advocacy and even shareholder advocacy. I became a stockholder of Honeywell just so that I could confront the CEO, David Cote, on their profiting from armed drones.
Your protest on drones, though, it comes at a time when there's a lot of hand-wringing in this country about sending troops into the Middle East, sending troops anywhere around the world. And part of the reason Washington uses drones is to avoid U.S. military casualties. How do you reconcile that?
Well, that's the real attraction of drones. It's been called by others the moral hazard of drones. It allows us to kill at no cost to ourselves. However, it is a breach of core military values values like courage and honor. So while we may be protecting or lowering the risk of shedding American blood, we're doing so at a great moral cost. In fact, I think we are selling out our soul.
Is your position, Reverend Antal, that the U.S. should stop the drone war, or is it we should continue but make the system more transparent?
I don't think we know enough as a public to make the conclusion that the drone wars should stop. My position is that the administration needs to be accountable and transparent. And that is what the Stimson Center is asking of the administration. It's very reasonable. I'm not asking for an end to drone wars. I'm not even anti-drone. I want the administration to be accountable and transparent so that we can know what's going on and, based upon the information that we have, make the best decisions.
So your resignation is still under review. How is the Army treating you through the process?
I've been very impressed with how the Army has handled my resignation. I've been treated with a great amount of respect by every officer and chaplain that I've engaged with. And I'm not angry or upset with the Army. This is an issue that I have with our administration. And I'm hoping that as a citizen, I can do more for our armed forces and for the Army than I'm able to do at this point as an officer.
Minister, how is your congregation in Rock Tavern, New York, taking all of this? Are they supporting you?
Well, I could never speak up and stand out without the support of community around me. My congregation in Rock Tavern has been critical support, as has the community of Veterans for Peace. The members of my congregation have rallied around me and stood beside me, speaking up about these issues. And without their support, I couldn't do this.
Chris Antal, minister at the Unitarian Universalist Congregation at Rock Tavern, New York. Thank you for speaking with us.
You're welcome. I'm really glad that we could have this conversation.